The first scripture reading this morning is from the Old Testament book of Psalms, Psalm 78, verses 1 through 7. I'll be reading from the New Revised Standard Version. Give ear, O my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings from of the old, things that we have heard and known, that our ancestors have told us. We will not hide them from their children. We will tell the coming generation of the glorious deeds of the Lord, of God's might, and the wonders that have been done. The Lord established a decree in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which the Lord commanded our ancestors to teach to their children, that the next generation might know them, the children yet unborn, and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God, and not forget the works of God, but keep the Lord's commandments. The second scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 20 through 31. Again, I will be reading from the NRSV. Then he looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice on that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets. But I say to you that listen, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. If anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Do to others as you would have them do to you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
So you all don't know this about me, but I did not grow up in the church. I am from Charleston, South Carolina, and my dad was a professional stagehand. So on Sunday mornings, our church was the stage of the theater, and that is where my people were. And on Sundays, my whole family would go with my dad to prepare for the afternoon shows. It wasn't until I went to college that I became a member of the Presbyterian Church. And I know I bucked the trend. Most people go to college and leave, but I went to college and joined the church. And I remember that first November coming to church with my friends and wondering, what is this All Saints Sunday thing? What are we doing here? Are we Catholic? I thought Catholics did saints. And scratching my head. So every All Saints Sunday since, I find it important to ground myself in what is the purpose of All Saints Sunday. Who are the saints anyway? So I took deep dives through my time in seminary and afterwards, learning about what All Saints Sunday is about and what it is our tradition believes about the people of faith who have come before, who have shaped and molded our lives and our understandings. In the early days of our faith tradition, the saints of the movement were most often those who had been martyred for their faith, those who had stood up to the powers and had been struck down for what it is that they believe. And martyrs were always remembered on the anniversary of their passing. So their death days became their birthdays in the Lord, if you will. I find it interesting, for example, that St. Stephen's Day is December 26th, as if the day that we celebrate the birth of Jesus is somehow conjoined with the death of the very first Christian martyr. The message to me that emanates from that reality is that faith in this child that we call Jesus is a pretty risky business. As the church struggled and grew, the calendar began filling up with saint days like St. Stephen's. This happened because in the days of the early church, the Roman emperors considered it a special kind of entertainment to persecute and kill Christians because of their faith, resulting in the number of martyrs increasing dramatically in those first 3 centuries, and each martyr was considered a saint. At that rate, there was no way each saint could have their own day. The calendar just ran out of space. So finally, in the 4th century, one day in the year was set aside to commemorate all the saints, mainly the lesser ones, and indeed the unknown ones who could fit. They put them all into one day of the year so we could remember all of them. If our understanding of what it means to be a saint never evolved from just honoring those first martyrs, I wonder how many people would be in the pews today. What it took to become a saint of the church was dying for our faith, that's a pretty high bar that many would shirk and shy away from. What I think is important to remember, though, is that the term saint appears approximately 60 times in the New Testament, 40 of those in the letters of Paul. What is surprising, indeed downright shocking to me, is the persons to whom Paul most often referred to as saints. They were not the martyrs who have died boldly for their faith. If you look closely at Paul's letters to the church in Corinth, for example, you'll discover that for Paul, the term saint is synonymous with church member. He calls the whole congregation in Corinth saints of the church. The church in Corinth? Did y'all see the problems in Corinth? The wealthier members of that church were rather cliquish. They came to worship earlier than the others who had to work for their living. And once there, they overindulged in wine and ate up all the food before everyone else had arrived. They were destroying the possibility of true community, yet Paul called them saints of the church. The Corinthians were fighting amongst themselves over which one of them had received the most beautiful and promising gift, the most important gifts from God. Some felt superior because they had the gift of tongues, others because they could prophesy. So contentious had they become with one another that Paul had to give them a lecture on the importance and value of every gift. Yet Paul calls them saints of the church. Apparently, the community was placing emphasis on everything except that which really counted in the community of faith. And so Paul preached to them a wonderful poetic sermon about love. You all know it. If I speak in the tongues of humans or of angels but have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. those noisy gongs and clanging cymbals, Paul called them saints of the church. Flawed, imperfect, contentious, arrogant, overly impressed with their own self-importance, selfish, unloving, sometimes downright immoral. That's Paul's congregation at Corinth. Those are the people Paul called saints. To be a saint in the Christian tradition does not mean to be super pure, thank goodness, super good, super righteous, even super self-sacrificing. Rather, saints are those whom God has called. And God calls the saints for a particular purpose. Considering a more modern congregation, Amos Wilder, a pastor and poet, wrote of his community of saints, saying, "If we are to find any grace, it is to be found in the world. I need a worldly form of spirituality, one that includes a group of actual flesh and blood human beings who will nourish me. I need a gospel that makes sense, not of some special religious realm that is way out there and to only be encountered after death, but of actual day-to-day world in which I live. And I need guides to whom I can apprentice myself. In my case, I find that in the struggling little church in my neighborhood, a place where I must contend with younger and older, some of whose views I appreciate, and others of whose ideas I find intolerable. The music is often stirring, sometimes off-key. The preaching is uneven, and there is never, never enough money. How often I have been tempted to jettison this all-too-human little freckle on the body of Christ, to stay at home on Sunday with much better music on the stereo, or better theology on my bookshelf. But Amos does not. A voice within him keeps reminding him that he needs these fallible human friends, whose little complaints never quite overshadow the love of God and the concern that is underneath. That precarious little local church may not be the ideal Christian community, he concludes, but still, it is the place where the Word becomes flesh. It is the place where God breathes the breath of life into him each and every day. As the Church Universal searches for its footing in this new era, where more and more people categorize themselves as the nuns, those with no religious affiliation whatsoever, All Saints Sunday, I think, is more critically important than ever. And for you, here at Rocky River, as you live into a new part of your story, I think All Saints Sunday is more critically important now than ever. All Saints Sunday is really about the flesh and blood of the gospel at work in the messy expressions of the everyday people who are around you. Those who are striving to live their lives in response to the grace of God. God has entrusted the word of Jesus Christ to the likes of you and me. By our occasional heroic efforts, but more often than not, by our humble, sometimes stumbling, day in and day out attempts, God calls us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. And whether we are perfect at it does not seem to matter, so long as we heed what God has asked us to do, to tell the works of God, and to do unto others as you would have them do unto you. In Psalm 78, we are reminded that the calling of God's people is to remember what God has done and to tell a new generation so that they may hope in God. Psalm 78 says, "We will tell to the coming generation the glorious deeds of the Lord and of God's might and the wonders that God has done, so that the next generation might know them and rise up and tell them to their children, so that they should set their hope in God and not forget the works of the Lord." In its essence, this is about memory. It is about us remembering who we are and whose we are, and helping every person around us to do the same. But the focus is on the younger generation, those who are new to faith, those who are searching for what it means to be alive in this beautiful blue dot floating in the universe. This psalm aims at incorporating the young into the miracles and covenants that identify the children of God. Children do not merely receive by osmosis the full identity of the community of faith. It depends on intentional witness, the testimony of others. Thus, the practice of testimony, of telling what God has done, is vital to a faithful congregation. But philosophers and scripture agree, it is not all about the telling. It is not all about the preaching and the song. It is also about the works and the actions which show forth what it is we believe. So the job of the saint, therefore, is to testify by word and by deed to that which transcends history, namely the ongoing activity of God from one generation to the next. In times of transition in the life of churches, it is critically important to remember the saints. The saints who have shaped our faith and our shared life here in this place and all around us each and every day. We all loved John Fancher, and his long storied service as your pastor here brought forth life and grace and love that abounds. But Rocky River has always been about more than John Fancher and his ministry in this place. John knew that. You know that. You have been committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ each and every day. You have been committed to the telling of the stories of Jesus, to modeling of the nurture and care that Jesus took for the community around him. You have done that each and every day for the children of this place, for the visitors, for longtime friends. You have embodied the love and grace of Jesus each and every day by the things that you have done, both intentional and unintentional. Through the ways that you dedicate yourselves, your resources, your time, your talent, through the ways that you love more than you hate, bless more than you curse, pray more than you cast stones, give more than you take. Through all of this, you testify to the works of God and become a bridge between the yesterday of the saints we remember and the tomorrow that is on the horizon. To be that bridge with intention is to be a saint in our time. Today on All Saints Sunday, we pause to remember the saints of this church and the saints of our lives who have died in the past year. Soon you'll be invited down to come and light candles remembering those people that live in your heart, that shaped your faith and your expression of God's love in the world. You will be invited to come and to pick up a candle and to light another candle in remembrance of those people. All Saints Sunday, today, we list the names of those who have died, but you are also invited to light candles for those around you, those that you know in this church and in your life who have helped you to understand who God is and how God calls you to be active in the world around you this day. We light candles to give thanks for their witness. We light candles to give thanks and to remember their actions that helped us to know the grace of God in our life. We light candles and we remember that we too are called to be those saints, remembering that other people today and in the future will be lighting candles with your names on their lips. Remembering that you are the saints of this church who carry it forward into the world to make a difference in the lives of those who are desperate to experience the love of God. You are the people who will have candles lit in honor of you because of the ways that you helped someone somewhere to understand the compassion and love of God flowing through your life out into the world. To be a saint of the church does not mean you are perfect. Thank goodness for that. To be a saint of the church means that you are trying. That you are trying to live out the call of God on your life. To live out the love and grace of Jesus in each day that you live, in each thing that you do, so that others may come to know the compassion and love of God in their lives. And isn't that so important this day and in these days to come? Amen.